You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, this Saturday evening, September the 19th, as we race towards the presidential election now. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in the studio tonight. What a glorious day in the South it has been. Dixie is experiencing an early fall. Just not, 2 weeks ago we were complaining about how hot it's been, that would it ever break, and break it did. Had a wonderful afternoon with my wife and children. We spent all day until about 2 hours before showtime picking pumpkins and apples and pears in this perfect fall weather, about 70 degrees and sunny, a little breeze in the air. Then we went and we met with Keith about an hour and a half before showtime, and then straight into the studio. They took the car home. Keith and I came to the studio, and so here we are. It has been a wonderful day, and we hope that we will be able to present you with a wonderful show. And it is, of course, nights like these that we always relish the opportunity to be able to host a live broadcast instead of something that we have to tape midweek or tape in advance and then present on the air during our time slot. No, we're live and we're always live. And
darn good thing this week, too.
That's right. With yesterday's news, of course, about the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, that is going to be the primary topic of conversation tonight. And we have not one, but two dynamite guests to help us break down the political ramifications of the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And they are, coming up in the second hour, prominent Los Angeles attorney William Johnson. He's going to be talking about the political fallout, or the potential political fallout from this, how the new court may take form, if it helps Trump or Biden more. We're going to be getting into all of that, digging deep. And then in the third hour, Brother Nathaniel will be talking about the spiritual ramifications of the passing of Ginsburg. And I don't say this glibly, ladies and gentlemen, but if you judge, as the Bible instructs us to do, someone by the fruit that they bear, you would have to surmise that Satan claimed another soul last night. And that's tragic to say, it's sad to say, but this truly was an evil woman. There was no manifestation of evil on this earth that she wouldn't gladly take and run with and use her extreme power and privilege to advance, from homosexual marriage to furthering the rights of people to murder their unborn children, and on and on and on. This was indeed a bad apple. Death comes to us all, so I'm not celebrating the fact that she passed like certainly her contemporaries and peers do when one of our people fall. But that is the truth of it, is the way I see it, my opinion on it. And again, we're going to be breaking that down in depth in hours two and three. So stay tuned for that. Bill Johnson, Brother Nathaniel. Keith, 1 minute, just 1 minute. Give us a hot take on Ginsburg. We got a lot of other news we want to get to this first hour, and then we'll get to the big story of the week.
Well, Ginsburg is very possibly the worst member of the U.S. Supreme Court up until her death yesterday. She was not only a Jewish leftist, she was the head attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union, which is a famous left-wing group that has been responsible for very much of the change that we've had in America over the past 70 years. She's right in the thick of things. She held on like Gunga Din to the very end. She wanted to retire in 2016, but then Donald Trump messed up their plan by winning the election, so they wanted her desperately to hang on until the 2020 election, and here she is within, 50 days of that election checking out. And, of course, this is going to monopolize the attention of everybody in D.C., particularly the Senate. The Senate is the group that decides who gets elevated to the Supreme Court and who does not. Now, the Republicans currently have control of the Senate, but they, if Biden wins the election in November, then the Democrats will likely win control of the Senate, too. So if it's going to be done, they need to get it done before January the 20th. Now, this is going to involve, you know, dropping all pretense of collegiality. Of course, there is none. This is war now between the Republicans and the Democrats, and if you don't think it is, then you haven't been paying attention. All pretense of collegiality and clubbiness and all that type of stuff is gone. This is going to be bare-knuckles fighting, and it's going to be interesting to see if the Republicans can actually do something with the opportunity that's being given to them now.
We are going to tackle all of that in depth, a two-hour deep dive with insightful guests, Bill Johnson, another attorney. We're going to have the two lions of the profession on in the second hour. You know, when Bill and Keith walk into a courtroom, Lady Liberty herself bends a knee. That's what happens. But, no, we're going to have the two attorneys on talking about it, Brother Nathaniel, third hour, deep, deep dive on the death of Ginsburg just yesterday and what it means for what it could potentially mean. Is it a monumental change or is it just going to be new boss, same as the old boss, business as usual? We're going to give you our opinion. That's all we can do. And we're going to do it. And with our certain flair and panache here at TPC, that's coming up. But yes, there were rumors that Ginsburg was seeking to retire. She held on rather than retiring in the Obama years. She held on until she thought that Hillary Clinton would be the president, so Clinton could dole out her seat as a political favor. And then, of course, once Trump upended the apple cart, she was forced to stay on and try to outlive Trump, which, of course, God, in his perfect timing, this is our Father's world, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? Let's go to a couple of quick pieces from the mailbag, and then we will get into the news of this hour. And then, as we mentioned, the main event for tonight, William out in Colorado. Thank you, William. He writes, "Dear James and Keith, thanks for all you do. Gosh, what times these are. So glad you're around. Thanks again." Well, no, thank you. How about Roger up in Pennsylvania? "Greetings to the TPC family. Small donation here to help the cause. James, best wishes to you and your family and the soon-to-arrive little ones. Stay well and keep the faith." Well, of course, Roger, thanks to people like you, we
maybe can pay his medical bill.
And will. Hey, here's one. Listen to this. Talk about prescient listeners. Here is Robert up in Indiana, and he writes, "James, Brother Nathaniel is an excellent guest. Conduct a poll of your listeners to see who their favorite guests are. That would be interesting. Keep up the good work. You and Keith Alexander the Great are a good team." So here is Bob up in Indiana writing about Brother Nathaniel, and then wouldn't you know it, Bob, Brother Nathaniel's coming on tonight, and we got your letter, obviously.
Indiana wants him. No, he can't come back there.
Here is from one of our listeners in South Dakota. He writes, "Dear James, I've enjoyed your radio program over the years. This year, it has simply been outstanding, and its forewarnings have been confirmed by the events that have taken place. Thank you, and Keith, and all the TPC family for your great work and sacrifice and standing up for our people." Well, thank you, John. John is a guy who's been supporting this show for very nearly our entire run, well over a decade. Thank you, John, for that, and thank you for your assessment of our work this year, especially. This has been a year we'll remember, that's for sure. A lot of news to get to. Two great guests. We're just getting started. We've got a full head of steam. Fall's in the air. The election's coming. You're listening to TPC. I can't say all is right in the world, but for the next 3 hours, we're going to have a good time.
Right back to you after a word from our sponsor.
Transport back in time to our nation's founding at the Freedom's Light Festival. Visit with freedom fighters, colonial artisans, music, contests, prizes, over 35 activities for the whole family. Schedule a school field trip and fulfill the federal requirement to teach the Constitution. Can you crack the spy codes used to win the Revolutionary War? Take home a founding document printed on the exact replica Isaiah Thomas used for the first Declaration of Independence. Register and compete in the Constitution Bowl. Join us September 17th through the 19th. Register at freedomslight.us. freedomslight.us. This event is completely free, now more than ever. We need to ensure Freedom's Light is not extinguished. Let's keep this light shining in the hearts and minds of our children. freedomslight.us. That's freedomslight.us.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
It's time to jump back.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know Keith Alexander and I are golden oldies in terms of our taste in music. That was certainly not a song from the 50s or 60s, which you would so often hear featured on this program, but that was a song from the early 90s, and of course I was born in 80, so I guess you would say the 90s were my formative years. And the reason I brought that up is just to accentuate the point that when looking back on how precipitous the decline of America has been, you could even look back to the early 90s and consider them to be, as you mentioned in the break, Keith, halcyon days compared to where we found ourselves here and now. In 2020, you go back to the early 90s, you still had the Confederate flag on the state house, the state capitol in South Carolina. You certainly didn't have a sodomite marriage. You were certainly even a decade and a half ahead of the time when Ted Turner, the founder of TPC, led the procession for the last Confederate burial, the last Confederate funeral, the service memorializing the crew of the CSS Hunley, who were found in Charleston Harbor, and they had that huge turnout, tens of thousands of people in Charleston for that.
And we also had a lot of Confederate statues up that have now unfortunately been torn down by the Jacobins of the left.
Well, there was just so much that still preserved. Now, obviously, the writing was on the wall by the 90s. It was on the wall by the mid-60s, mid-50s even. But you didn't have stuff like this. I mean, I can tell you, you wouldn't have had stuff like this where Drew Brees, it came out in an article this week. You'll remember, of course, earlier this year, Drew Brees said he was going to stand for the anthem, and then within 24 hours, he had done a reverse pivot, and he was offering an apology. Well, now the plot even thickens. It says that Drew Brees cried. This man, this grown man in his early 40s, cried while apologizing for his stance on preferring to stand for the national anthem. He said in this story this week, his comments really hurt him. What? I mean, what does that even mean? You got this guy here who has made hundreds of millions of dollars, literally hundreds of millions in contract money as an NFL star quarterback and in endorsements, and he's crying. I mean, he's at the twilight of his career. He's really beyond his save by date. What does he have to lose by taking a stand as tepid and tenuous as saying I'll stand for the anthem?
Well, he obviously doesn't stand for much except padding his own bank account. And I guess that the prospects of losing maybe an extra year or two of the millions of dollars that he was getting before is so significant to him that he's just going to, you know, cave in and do whatever the left wants done. You know, he's basically the slave of the Black Lives Matter movement now. What a shame.
Well, and of course, also those in subservience to the Black Lives Matter terrorist movement are the Southern Baptist Convention. Soon to be Southern Baptist no longer. We got the word this week. I am so glad that they were able to expel my congregation a couple of years ago before I had to be tainted by this cuckery. But they are changing their names to the Great Commission Baptists and dropping the name Southern because J.D. Greer says it's essential to drop the name Southern in order to fully support Black Lives Matter. He also said this week that our Lord Jesus was not a white Southerner, but a brown-skinned Middle Eastern refugee. Well, let's just take a look at that very quickly. First of all, I'm sure J.D. Greer would have preferred Jesus Christ or whoever his Lord and Savior is to be a black homosexual. I think that's probably much more near and dear to the heart of a guy like J.D. Greer. But yes, I don't think anybody ever said that Christ was a Southerner, but he was hardly a refugee either. That whole trip in the Bible, and I'm not sure if anybody at the head table of the Southern Baptist Convention has read it, but they weren't fleeing anything. They were Roman subjects, and they were going to Bethlehem to pay their taxes and to be counted for a census. They were not fleeing. They were not refugees. But this whole thing, I mean, why is it called the Southern Baptist Convention to begin with? Yes, they're betters, men far better and far better Christians, I might add, than themselves back in the 1840s, split from the Baptists at large in the United States of America, and founded the Southern Baptist denomination because, wait for it, they lived in the South. That's where they were from. If you go to the Southern Baptist Convention's website right now, you won't find any mention of Southern Baptist. It says Great Commission Baptist now. But if you go to their church locator, they claim they have 50,000 churches all over the world. Well, first of all, that's probably almost certainly apocryphal. They have maybe 50,000 churches on a list, but they don't really have 50,000 churches. They've been hemorrhaging members because of stuff like this forever, and this will only hasten the decline, I might add. But they may just call it. Just say they have 50,000 churches, for argument's sake. Okay. Well, about 48,000 of them are in the states that make up the former Confederacy. There's more Southern Baptist churches in the state of Georgia than the entire rest of the world combined. So, yes, if you have 13 Southern Baptist congregations in Canada and one in Guam and one in Kenya, I guess technically you could say they're all over the world, but when 98% of them are in this American South, that's why you're called Southern Baptist. But even that is a bridge too far, Keith.
Okay, why did the Southern Baptist separate themselves from the Northern Baptist back in 1845? It was because the Northern Baptist was trying to be current and avant-garde in the day and say that somehow slavery was prohibited by the Bible. If you read the King James Bible that was then current in America at the time, you would see that slavery was endemic throughout the Old Testament and endemic throughout the world. You may not care for slavery. You may think slavery should be abolished, but trying to say that it is prohibited by the Bible is rank heresy, okay? That's what the Bible did. You know, what did St. Paul say about slavery? He said, slaves, obey your masters. Masters, be kind to your slaves. Well, they didn't want this new Church of What's Happening Now baby that apparently J.D. Greer and people like Russell Moore ascribe to. And they instead, basically what, there's a sin involved here, and the sin is called covetousness. people like J.D. Greer and Russell Moore covet a congregation, a flock of black sheep, and God has given them a flock of white sheep, and they're unhappy with God for doing that, apparently. But rather than ministering to the flock that have been given to their care by God, they want to rebel against God in that way. So this is what's happening. The Great Commission, I guess the Great Commission is that apparently J.D. Greer and the rest of the clergy are going to take a percentage of your tithes and offerings now. That would be the Great Commission they're looking forward to, James.
Well, I think obviously people like Greer and Russell Moore are change agents that seek to destroy a once great church, and they have pretty much done the job.
Their church, true religion is liberalism, not Christianity. Christianity is just a veneer. They have decided to turn their churches into an engine to promote the social revolution of the left.
Well, even if they are or consider themselves to be Christians in some shape, form, or fashion, they're certainly subservient to the world. There is nothing that the world can present to them that they want in turn. It goes back to Dabney, who was a true Southern giant when it comes to the
and
faith
Christian,
of our fathers and Christian.
Great Christian, yeah.
Obviously, chaplain to Stonewall Jackson. He just said these people are just the shadow of liberalism, and they will do whatever it takes to
J.D. is not content to be the shadow. He wants to get out in front of the movement now.
Well, yes. He announced this, by the way, in an op-ed that he was allowed to write in the Washington Post or the New York Times or one of those things. So, no, I mean, that's fine. The church exists in our heart. The church exists in our heart. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg just 6 weeks before the election has cast an immediate spotlight on the crucial high court vacancy, with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell quickly vowing to bring a vote to whomever President Donald Trump nominates. Democratic nominee Joe Biden vigorously disagreed, declaring that the voters should pick the president and then the president should pick the justice to consider. The impending clash over the vacant seat, when to fill it and with whom, is sure to significantly affect the stretch run of this presidential race, further stirring passions in a nation already reeling from the pandemic that has killed nearly 200,000 people, left millions unemployed, and heightened partisan tensions and anger. The president, in brief remarks to reporters after learning of Ginsburg's death, called her an amazing woman who led an amazing life. This is USA Radio News.
Are you interested in making $10, $20, even $40,000 a month flipping houses? Then listen to this exciting opportunity. Jeremy Iles and Tony Rosenblum, founders of High Impact Outcomes, are ready to show you how they have helped first-time investors flip hundreds of houses in 39 states for substantial profits. What's their secret, you ask? Just text HURRY to 72000 right now, and they'll send you a free copy of their 40K Formula Flip Kit. See how using their innovative strategies with the right internet search tools can help you create off-market deals that Realtors and other investors don't even know existed. Text HURRY to 72000 now to get your free 40K Formula Flip Kit and get ready to see how fast you can receive your first or next real estate paycheck. Text HURRY to 72000 right now to get your 40K Formula Flip Kit, plus free tickets to a live interactive online training class. Text HURRY to 72000. That's text HURRY to 72000 for your free 40K Flip Kit now. They can't wait to see you there. Individual results may vary.
President Donald Trump has announced billions in funding for Puerto Rico, a U.S. territory whose leadership the president has derided in the past as corrupt. Trump made the announcement in a White House news conference days after his Democratic rival Joe Biden introduced a new recovery plan. Asking why he's pushing for the aid package now so close to the election instead of a year ago, the president said, "We've been working on this for a long time and wanted to get it right." The National Hurricane Center, for only the second time in history, has resorted to using the Greek alphabet as hurricane names this season, after running out of traditional names in a year that continues to smash records. The Greek alphabet comes into play after 21 traditional names like Laura and Sally are used, starting with an A name and progressing through the alphabet as new storms form. The letters Q, U, X, Y, and Z are not used. Subtropical Storm Alpha came to life off the coast of Portugal just after the season's 21st storm, Tropical Storm Wilfred, formed earlier in the day. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
The purpose of that last segment, I guess, or the theme of it rather, was things you wouldn't have seen even as late as the 90s, and you wouldn't have seen NFL, white NFL stars crying because he offended his black teammate by putting his hand over his heart during the national anthem. You wouldn't have seen the Southern Baptist Church drop the name Southern. You wouldn't have seen this normalizing of pedophilia, which we talked about last week with this new Netflix show, Cuties, normalizing pedophilia. And the state of California now loosening the laws there to where this is certainly going to be, I will tell you, within, well, as quickly as things are progressing now, and that's what progress is, something getting progressively worse. 10 years, maybe, pedophilia is legal. It's enshrined by the Supreme Court. You've got the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, or the Great Commission Baptists, saying if you're against pedophiles, there's no place for you in the church. That's coming.
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah, there's not any part of liberalism they won't embrace wholeheartedly. They are not Christians. Christianity is just like the watercress on your fancy sandwich at a restaurant or something. That's just a garnish. The main course is liberalism. Liberalism is what they want. Liberalism is what they intend to provide in their churches. And if you want to follow Christ rather than the latest current fashion in liberalism, then people need to get out of those churches. And the wonderful thing about the Baptist church is that every congregation, I understand, owns their own church building and their land. So they can just decide, well, J.D., you and your people go in that direction. We're going to stay the Southern Baptist Church, and you can go collect your great commissions from the rest of the sheep that follow you like sheeple. And, you know, basically J.D. Greer is like Jonah. Jonah, in the Bible, did not want to do what God wanted him to. He wanted him to minister to one group of people, and Jonah hated that group of people. That's what J.D. Greer does. He hates Southern white people and doesn't want to minister to them. He wants to minister to blacks, browns, and the coalition of the others, but God didn't allow that to happen. He had a whale come up and swallow Jonah and spit him out on the shore where he wanted him to be. Maybe that would happen to J.D. Greer.
Just got to get him close enough to an ocean.
I don't know that God thinks that he's worth saving. But, you know, let's find out what happens.
Well, I'll tell you.
They're killing their church. This is what's happening, James. You said it. They're hemorrhaging members. All these people that wring their hands about the crisis in Christianity, people aren't attending church. Well, who wants to attend a church of apostasy and heresy?
Well, and I don't want to dwell on this anymore because we've got too much to cover. But when they take out stout-hearted, godly men, men who are brave enough to stand up and fight for their fellow brothers, like my pastor, and you're left with this buffoonish, cowardly,
groovy Greer up there with his floppy Bible in one hand,
effeminate,
and a towel to mop his sweaty brow with the other. You know, this is...
They don't fear God. They fear the world. And anyway, I mean, this is the point. And you are right, by the way, that in the Southern Baptist Convention, or what used to be it, the local church is sovereign. That is the highest entity, or at least that's the way it always was. And the top table, the head of the denomination, is the weakest part.
It's not hierarchical. And like I told you before, if a church calls its priests or pastors father, they're hierarchical. If they call them brother, which is what Southern Baptists have always done, that shows that he's just the first among equals. He's
That's
not
right.
elevated to a special relationship, and J.D. Greer needs to consider that.
Well, I got another one. Since we were talking about the rapid onset of pedophilia being accepted in this country, the whole cuties controversy there with Netflix, the left, you know, again, we have been inundated with such evil in this country as we have drifted from God. The results have been predictable. The left, such liars they are, were saying, you know, how dare these conservatives take issue with Cuties, this, you know, pedophile-friendly Netflix show, when they supported Roy Moore, who was convicted of being a pedophile. That never happened. I mean, number one, the whole thing was a lie to begin with, but he certainly was never convicted. I think the most they ever got was that when he was in his early 30s, he might have been talking to women who were in their late teens, and back in the 50s and 60s, that was quite normal.
Yeah, the Cuties are not in their late teens, folks. They're not even in their teens. They are in their preteens. Most of them aren't 10 years old. But, you know, apparently you can tar Roy Moore with that brush. If, you know, there's pedophiles and then there are pedophiles in the eyes of the left. If a leftist like Jeffrey Epstein and some of his clients like Bill Clinton go out with these young girls, well, that's you need to be broad-minded and man of the world. On the other hand, if Roy Moore, if you're looking for a way to try to scuttle his political prospects, go back 30, 40, 50 years and find out that...
that he signed an annual of a high school girl or whatever they were using to try to attach him to
that. You
know,
and see, the thing is, they don't seem to understand. They got on him for dating a 17-year-old girl. Look, a 100-year-old man can date an 18-year-old girl in America and still be legal. This is, you know, this is pedophagy on the part of the left. They're just looking for some way to condemn a good man, and that's what... Roy Moore was a good man, and it's a shame that they ruined his career, but that is the primary business of the left today, destroying people's careers.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we mentioned, things are heating up, and they're heating up for all of us here at TPC as well. We don't have really enough time left in this segment to open up another can of worms. We'll get to that in the fourth and final segment of this
before.
First hour. Yeah, that's right. But it does give me just enough time to make a quick announcement. We should have played the intro bump, I Get Around by the Beach Boys. TPC in demand right now. We are making the rounds in the media again. I don't have this in any particular order, but received an interview request from a host on Sirius XM. Said he's a big fan of the show and wants to... have a talk with me. So we'll be doing that. The former weekend host of Coast to Coast AM has issued a similar invitation. So some nice prospective interviews there. We've made two appearances with Jason Kuna recently on his live stream. Tim Murdoch just last week on White Rabbit Radio. Full Moon Ancestry. We'll be doing a live stream there on Monday, next Sunday, with John Friend on his podcast. Was with Sam Bushman just last Wednesday on his show. Keith Alexander has made an appearance recently on the Sonny Thomas show. And by the way, Keith, I haven't even told you this, but Dissident Mama sent in an interview request for you to appear on her podcast. So I'm passing that along to you now, and we'll get that set up. So, and of course, we're here on TPC Weekly. So a lot of recent appearances that the two of us have made on other programs, and many more to come over the course of the next couple of weeks. And just stay tuned to our Twitter and website. We'll let you know when those hit.
Well, it reminds me of that song by Sam the Sham, "I'm in with the out crowd." That's
Would you care to sing it for us?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm in with the out crowd.
Then he starts. Okay. Hey, well, there was another thing in the news this week. I guess we can shoehorn this in very quickly as well. More riots taking place because of another alleged racist cop shooting an innocent black man. Well, in this one, a black man is clearly, I mean, look, there's the picture right there. His mouth is wide open. He's charging. He's yelling. He's got an 8-inch pig sticker in his hand. This knife that looks like something out of an action movie, some parody of a knife. Cops have guns for a reason, don't they? The officer naturally shot this guy who was charging him.
How many times do you have to let the perpetrator
sword
stab you before you can use force in return?
You know, at this point, any officer involved shooting is going to be met with a riotous response. This story came from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania Dutch, Eric, right? In other words, Black Lives Matter comes to the Amish and the Pennsylvania Dutch now.
So you got this guy charging the cop with the 8-inch pig sticker and obviously trying to do harm to his person. I guess we won't know what would have happened if the officer didn't practice self-defense and put this guy down. I mean, we'd have had a dead cop and nobody would have heard about it. Wouldn't even have made local news.
Or maybe Tinkerbell would have sprinkled fairy dust on him and turned him into a sweetheart.
This guy was going to either kill or seriously maim this cop. Why else are you charging a guy with a knife, and what do you intend to do? Butter his bread? And so he gets shot, and then riots take place because, again, it's gotten to this point now, Keith. White police officers cannot police black suspects.
You cannot arrest a black man unless he wants to be arrested in today's America, unfortunately. That's basically the lesson that we're learning here. And as a result, you're seeing police officers leaving the force in droves, and boy, is that going to be a wonderful situation when we have no police to call. It's like the old bumper sticker they had during the Vietnam era said, if you don't like the police, the next time that somebody is threatening your life, call a hippie.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Sit tight.
Spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
You know something is wrong when the media, global corporations, and governments are all colluding on a narrative that just doesn't add up. Do you seek truth, no matter where it leads? Want to understand how the world really works? Then take the red pill and register for the Expo of the Year. Come to G. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo, October 10th and 11th, on Jekyll Island, Georgia, birthplace of the Federal Reserve. And here from Dell Bigtree, G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, David Icke, Alex Newman, Dr. Bradford Weeks, Sheriff Mack, John Rappaport, Tim Ray, and many more. Register to attend or live stream at home with friends and family at redpillexpo.org. That's redpillexpo.org. Because you know something is wrong.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Gentlemen, let me ask you something before we go to our two featured guests, a powerful 1-2 punch tonight with Los Angeles attorney Bill Johnson, our old friend and another old friend, Brother Nathaniel Kapner, the one and only Brother Nathaniel in the third hour, Ginsburg, Ginsburg, Ginsburg. That's going to be a deep dive in hours two and three. But let me ask you, why do you listen to this show? I hope it's because you find us informative, you find our work encouraging or inspirational or educational or any of those other adjectives that we would hope that we would be able to live up to.
But perhaps most of all because we're different. We're not what you get when you turn on Channel 3, Channel 13, Channel 5, or NPR. You get the other side of the news, the side that really attaches to and grabs the attention of the average American.
Well, I'll tell you. I think
not the pablum provided by the mainstream.
I think that there's something to that. I think if, you know, we certainly want to lead by example. We want to be loyal. We want to be trustworthy. We want to be all of these things. But I think more than anything, I would hope, though, at least, is that it has something to do with the example we've set in terms of courage. I don't think, I mean, anybody can come to a conclusion about any topic and it's worthy to be heard. But I think if you are in a position as we that we have here on the radio, you want people who have been through the fire. Me personally, I don't want to hear anyone's opinion on a J.D. Greer or a Drew Brees or anybody saying how they would do it if they were in their position unless they've actually been through that fire. Now, again, we've shared this story before, but I pull it up for effect just to show you how long, in fact, we have been doing this. You go back to an NBC News report, March 2nd, 2006. That was almost a year and a half after the founding of this radio program in the fall of 2004, October 04. NBC, this news article reads, a Memphis radio talk show gained national attention on Thursday after being added to a hate group watch list. The political cesspool radio program has gotten dubious national recognition from the watchdog group, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Again, I'm reading from a 2006 article, who has called it a show that caters to guests who are members of hate groups. Now, when it comes time for the founder of that program to respond, if he is like 99.9% of the population, this is where you get the white wimp shuffle. This is where you get the apology, the explaining. You get all of that. Equivocation. No. The story continues. James Edwards, the host of the Political Cesspool, is ecstatic that his show will be listed on the hate watch list, a group he calls a bunch of communists and civil rights hustlers. I don't think you've arrived in the conservative movement until you've made it to the SPLC's hate watch, Edwards said. Now, I was 24 years old when I said it. I certainly mean it.
Mean as much today as you did then.
More, believe me, I mean it more. But we certainly gained in experience since then, and I would hope in capability as well. But, you know, I was 24. Now, that's by no means a kid. Or rather, I was 26 in 2006, started the show when I was 24. You're by no means a kid at that age, but I mean, come on.
I'm a weary veteran by then. What?
I'm also not a 42-year-old football star with hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, so if I could do it, he could do it.
Well, the thing is, we tell Drew Brees and anyone else confronted with the critics of political correctness trying to make you bow a knee, never bow a knee to your enemies. Remember the life motto of Davy Crockett, our Tennessee hero, who said, I leave these words for others when I'm dead. Be always sure you're right, then go ahead. Don't apologize. Don't trim your sails for the shifting winds of political correctness. Tell the truth and shame the devil.
If I can stand in front of an NBC news camera at that age, my first time at the dance, and conduct myself like that. Now, obviously, I have kept that position very steadily and consistently throughout my entire career. No retreat, no surrender, no apologies. It became minted that day. But as the Bible says, of course, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And that comes from Matthew 5, verse 11 in the King James Version. We talked about it last week about this ridiculous congressional hearing that took place in Washington a few months ago for the purpose of addressing white supremacy at home and international terrorism abroad. The fact that I was cited during the official testimony along with friends and colleagues that make regular appearances.
Are these people really serious, James? Just think about this. Look at all those Black Lives Matter and Antifa protesters. Where are the so-called white supremacists? Nowhere to be found. They're apparently invisible.
Well, what is one? Have we ever even met one? I mean, that's the thing. They're sort of like the boogeyman or the abominable snowman. I mean, I don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, they would say we are that, but I mean, look, I've been cleared by the Secret Service on more than one occasion. When you get press credentials to go to the Republican National Convention, you get vetted by the Secret Service, okay? I have been vetted. I was vetted by the Secret Service before I even attended that Trump rally, okay? They look into you. You give them your social. You give them, all right, so if I'm cleared by the Secret Service, then obviously I should hardly be mentioned in a joint committee of the United States Congress that is debating international terrorism. This is the fanaticized state of American society. You know, it is worth noting as well, we talk about the liberals now being a parody of McCarthyism, that the House Committee on Un-American Activities investigated communists, and the alleged communists were invited and even subpoenaed to appear. How I would have loved to have been subpoenaed during this congressional inquiry. I would have loved to have dressed down these congressmen. I would have loved, I mean, we're supposed to revere these people? These are our supposed public servants. They're working at our taxpayer expense and at our expense, I might add. But I would have loved to have called them, and I would have, I promise you, and I hope I still get the chance one day. The next time, instead of talking about me, how about talk to me? And I would love to tell them what a group of cowards and sociopaths and traitors that they are. And it would have been laughable entirely if it wasn't for the fact that these congressional hearings represent the early stages of legislative policymaking. But here's the point, Keith, and I'll toss it back to you. I've been personally denounced on the record by the United States Congress before, some years ago, and then this most recent instance, much more than that, condemned by virtually every media outlet in the world, politicians, celebrities. The Michigan Court of Appeals handed down a decision in my libel lawsuit so heinous that it literally rewrote defamation law. The Southern Baptist Convention worked to expel my entire church because my pastor wouldn't agree to crucify me. I could keep going. I didn't back down during any of that. I won't back down. I will never back down because an upright man doesn't shrink in the face of adversity. And that, I hope, ladies and gentlemen, is why you listen to this show. I hope we've set an example in the real world with real life high stakes being played. I hope that that is what encourages you and why you support us.
Well, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. If you want to see who the real misfits and miscreants are, look at pictures of the people that populate the Southern Poverty Law Center, Antifa, Black Lives Matter. That's where you'll find the losers in society, not here at the political cesspool. We represent the good, solid stock of America. The people that are honest, honorable, and hardworking. The opponents of the political cesspool are just the opposite of all that. They are people that are from the fringes, people that are revolutionaries, people that want to destroy rather than build up.
Well, and you mentioned it, Keith, a picture being worth its weight in gold. I always like to talk about my family, not because I'm trying to use them as any sort of political capital, but I think it is important that people know who we are and what we are and who we are at home and what we stand for. And I enjoy, frankly, I mean, if you're proud of something, you like to talk about it. I mean, isn't that the way that it works? And you like to have other people know about it. And so I talk about my family. And, of course, from time to time, we'll post pictures together. And we had some pictures taken a few weeks ago that's up on Twitter of my wife, who is very, very much in bloom, only a few days away from bringing our third child into the world, my other children, Isabel and Henry, and me. And we had some pictures taken. And, you know, again, we opened up the show by making mention of the fact that we were out doing things that normal people do, picking pumpkins and doing all the stuff that you like to do to get into the seasonal spirit this time of year as we get ready for fall and all of that. But, no, you know, we are who we are. And we know who we are, and we know what we're not. And it's just amazing to me the way that this whole thing is played. And truly, you know, going back to Ginsburg, the evil that sits at the levers of power.
Look at a picture of her face and study it. And tell me, if that's not a portrait of evil, what is it a portrait of?
Well, again, I mean, the Bible gives us instructions on how to make a pretty good, at least an educated guess on if a person is good or not, and what is that?
That's, be ye not deceived, ye shall know them by their fruits. Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Look at James and the fruits of James, his family, his wife, his children. Then, let's say, where is a picture of Mark Potok's family? Where is a picture of Heidi Byrick's family? They're nowhere because they don't have them. They have no good fruit. They only have corrupt fruit.
Well, we are going to get into this Ginsburg situation, the political ramifications, the spiritual ramifications, the Supreme Court ramifications, all of it, how it impacts the race between Trump and Biden, and will Trump even be there to take advantage of this in a few more weeks? You know, we had heard last week that some of the since when did the voting in presidential elections begin? The first week of September, but apparently a lot of provisional and mail-in ballots are already coming in, and in a swing state like North Carolina, it looked like it was 7-1 for the Democrats.
Well, look, that shows you why we need to have federal election laws, because states have their own laws, and the loonier the state, the loonier their laws.
We'll be back with attorney Bill Johnson next.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.